Have you noticed it's Friday?
I sure have. Hey there! Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. And yes, my friends, we are diving deep into the pool of field programmable gate arrays this week. Please welcome Sammy Cheung, CEO and founder of Effinix. Sammy and I are talking about how Effinix is carving out a unique place for itself in the FPGA ecosystem and why AI at the edge is the perfect application for their Trion FPGAs. All right. Let's go.
Thank you so much for joining me, Sammy.
Thank you very much for having me here today.
Okay, so for my audience who does not know, what is Effinix all about?
Effinix is an FPGA company. We have a disruptive FPGA technology that was invented after we started the company back the end of 2012. We have gone through quite a bit of up and down, just kind of like many other startup companies. But fast forward, we were very grateful we had big investments from the biggest FPGA company signings back in 2017, and also the number one semi company, Samsung, as well as a good supportive strategic fund from Hong Kong. So since 2017, shortly after 2 years, we have less than 40 people. We managed to bring up a full-blown FPGA product line, as well as just recently we have a press release with Samsung that we are collaborating with them, working on 10 nanometer project using our quantum eFPGA on their SoC design. So there's a lot of mystery in there. How could we do that with limited resources within 2 years? And at the same time, we claim our technology is better than the best. So how could we do that?
Well, I was just about to ask you about that, Sammy. How did you develop your quantum eFPGAs to 10 nanometer? That's a huge jump between an FPGA on the 40 nanometer node to an eFPGA on a 10 nanometer node. So tell me about this partnership with Samsung and the motivation to go to such a small node.
First of all, I think the prerequisite is the technology has to be attractive enough for a big company like Samsung to collaborate with us to use our technology on their own chip. That's a very big endorsement and a very big trust in us. The reason is our technology is out of the box, much smaller area than a traditional FPGA technology, which is extremely important for, anyone doing IC development. Smaller is better. Smaller form factor, lower power, lower cost, better integration. You do it within the same area, more computation power, all come along. People never could think about there would be an innovation like that at kind of like 30 years after the first FPGA was invented. Samsung, after their very detailed evaluations, not only invested in us, but also put a project together with us. So that's a prerequisite. Someone has to believe in that based on their own innovative mind and technological advancement. I think the second part is the technology is not just smaller. Also the methodology behind building this chip, which makes us ability to very quickly to port the quantum technology from 40 nanometer to 10. Just some of the stuff that when we build the whole technology, instead of snap together, just try to get a quick success, we think a lot about the behind-the-scene methodology that allow us to build the core, to build product very quickly. Some of you may have heard, traditional FPGA is very prohibitive to build. Sometimes you have to staff up a lot of people, especially when you build a core technology, you almost like need to have two, three teams to address different market and optimize for each of them. No, we don't. Our architecture is very market density agnostic, very process agnostic. So it's not a short time, but it takes us about 6 months of time to really port it over. We focus a lot on the innovation on the methodology itself. So that's the main thing to get us there. I think the third part was just we were in industry for long enough. Tony, my co-founder partner invented this technology. We used to, long time ago, work in Altera. Now, I think the team itself wasn't like treating this as a research project. I mean, we kind of had a basic know-how, how to build chips, how to build things together. So that kind of helped. So.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit, but starting an FPGA company is scary business. Some really smart people with great ideas in this technology field have failed. Why are you succeeding with so many other disaster stories out there?
I think, actually, we are kind of very conservative people coming from long-time Altera in the past. And we were kind of proud of being labeled as operation excellence. We were conservative. But why we would do this? I think the first one is really kind of like, I don't know how to say it, but simply because we know what is good, what is bad. From a technological perspective, we believe that we have a chance to innovate something. So we give a shot of it. I mean, if we cannot pull out, let's say, the first 6 months, some prototype software or idea, we should package it up and whatever, right? I think we managed to do something pretty significant. And we have ability to tell it is going to be make a huge difference. So that kind of motivates us to continue the pace. I mean, I have to be frank that, I mean, in the past, I mean, I personally know so much about all the failure because either when I was working in a big company, look at the smaller guy. I also, after Altera, I tried another startup company, not FPGA. I know it's so hard, but we believe that we understand all aspects of the business. That's where it's prohibitive, right? It's not just the architecture. You have to make the software algorithm work. You have to make silicon circuit design work. You have to make it work on advanced silicon process. And then you have to build IP around it. And then you have to put soft IP system around it. Then you have to sell it. Then you have to service support it. And it's very hard to pull together all the talents to do it at once. And that's why they fail. If you just know one or two traits, the chance to succeed is very small. So we did it cautiously. We knew where are the traps, where are the problems, and we try to work forward, not work around, but work forward by avoiding all these big traps and make sure ourselves progress along the line. So we managed to demonstrate to all these big companies our ability in software. And also ability, how we want to build a core, etc. And that's the major first base we get into. Then the next part is after 2017, I mean, we have two paths, right? Why don't we keep it small? Maybe we got lucky. Someone can buy us out and then we can take a vacation in Hawaii or something like that. No, I think just right after the investment, I think we should give it a shot. And try to pull all the tricks out of our pockets in terms of product definitions and how to enable the product line and then how to in parallel surface a license deal. I think it's all come along. I mean, this is not like rocket science or special magic. It is just the commitment that we believe we can pull it off. And at today, I mean, that's why we managed to have a full-blown product line with software support completely, two of the products in production, and then two more coming out. And also the market, it's a little bit shocked. They still don't believe that, but we can wait for the 120K device coming in summer because there's a little open secret in the industry that other than Altera signings, no one can competitively scalable beyond 100,000 logic element. Anyone can scale, but they can make it bigger, power hungry, not competitive, but Fnis, look at the 120K device coming up. We will prove it. We are scalable. And of course, I cannot disclose about potential projects. We're working with clients on licensing that our licensing is really addressing really high end, right? It's going to be much higher density per se. So adding all this stuff, you can say based on what I just talked, we know the business, but we are practical. If we see an extreme obstacle, we probably find a way so to make sure everyone accomplished, satisfied. But at this moment, I think one major change in the last year is the emerging of the demand from AI. So the FPGA, it's just a natural to absorb AI. A lot of people believe AI may be a market or something. We look at AI is actually is a surface, is something that every existing applications want to change the current form into having some sort of AI. Nothing better than using FPGA to do that. And nothing better than Affinix technology that can be much smaller, much easier to use, much general purpose to add AI into the system. And all these things is motivating us to continue to be a little bit crazy, to keep moving forward. I mean, I cannot claim we achieved the point for success yet, but at least we're passing through a couple bases. I think we can keep playing many innings down the road. So,
all right, Sammy, now it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, you told me you're a bit of a golfer, and I enjoy golf as well. Where is your most fantastic place you've ever gone golfing?
I don't think I can pick one particular, but I really enjoy the chance that during my life and career that can travel all over the place. I played in so many countries. In U.S., I played in a few places, Pebble Beach, played in a few country clubs. Now, U.S. is always great. People should take the advantage. Playing golf is easy in the U.S. I play in Malaysia, play in Taiwan, play in China, play in Hong Kong. There's very nice places around. I would defer that my probably most favorable ones is probably have a chance that I can take a vacation to play in probably UK on some big, nice old golf courses. Kind of like a dream in the future. But looking at my workload right now, maybe it'll take a few more years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that was super awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Sammy.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Keeping with our AI at the edge theme this week, why don't you join me over here in the Kickstarter corner? Because we're going to talk about bees. That's right. The buzz buzz kind, not the star of the Golden Girls or brought to you by the letter. No. We all know, or we should know, that honeybee colonies are failing. This is due to a lot of different reasons, including the use of pesticides, varroa mites, stuff called foul broad and chalk broad, which are both really gross, and I'm going to spare you the details on how they destroy colonies. And also bad weather, monoculture, and more. But what can we do about this? Well, we can start by monitoring the bees themselves. Let me introduce you to the BeePie Project. And their take on honeybee colony observation is quite unique. They want to make their vision of beehives as intelligent, immobile robots a reality, with a little help from Kickstarter. So BeePie isn't new. It started in 2017 with its first successful Kickstarter campaign that funded the first stage of this project, which deployed two BeePie monitors and collected and analyzed data from two beekeeping seasons in 2017 and 2018. This unique project, headed by Utah computer science professor Vladimir Kuyulukin, isn't looking to just help bees build better colonies. No, they are also looking to better educate beekeepers throughout the world with their innovative beekeeping meets open source meets AI technology and all the information it gathers. So, following these two first beekeeping seasons, they made their findings public. And within those findings are five different data sets, complete with images, video, and audio files captured by the BeePie monitors. So, what is this second Kickstarter campaign all about? Well, first, getting more BeePie monitors into the world, and then further, to refine the observation methods employed by the BeePie team. The objectives for this campaign are pretty clear. First, the BeePie team is looking to build five more BeePie units. The second objective is to refine what the BeePie team call their directional bee traffic estimation. Basically, they want to refine their traffic algorithm to estimate directional B traffic. The third objective is to increase the sensor fusion within each BPI monitor by working on a multi-modular pattern recognition and tracking models that correlate video, audio, temperature, and human beekeeper observations. And the fourth objective is data curation and sharing. In order to make their vision of beehives as intelligent immobile robots a reality, this team is going to need terabytes of good quality multi-sensor data collected over many years, even possibly decades, at multiple locations. So the BPI team contends that this second part of the larger BPI project will provide significant practical and scientific benefits by using AI to monitor the health of their bee colonies with multiple sensors, data analysis, and can alert beekeepers of any deviations from the norm. All right, how can you help? If you are so inclined, you can pledge anywhere from $20 to $200. And $20 will get you a snazzy tote bag. $25 will get you a t-shirt. I'm leaning toward that direction. $30 will get you a ball cap. Or $65 will get you a bundle of all three. And then there's the super cool stuff. For $150, you can get the BPI hardware assembly, including a detailed hardware list so you could put together your own BPI monitor. $150 more will get you the curated BPI data sets, and $150 more will also get you the BPI source code, which includes their trained models as well. But I hear you out there, my fish frying audience. I don't really need another t-shirt or tote, and I'm not going to start beekeeping anytime soon. What does this really offer me? Well, other than feeling good about helping bees, I've saved the best for last. For a pledge of $25 or more, you can get the Ambient Beehive Synthetic Soundtracks. Yes. So since these BPI monitors record audio samples, as you can imagine, there are all sorts of cool sounds that come from these samples. I mean, sure, yes, you have bees, but you also have wind, birds, crickets, raindrops on a tin can, etc. The campaign pledge description for this one is pretty great. I'll just have to share it with you. One can extract musical notes from these samples of ambient audio at different frequencies and use them to synthesize strange and beautiful digital music with various instruments. This collection of MP3 audio tracks is my experiment with synthesizing digital music from ambient audio files. Yes, I am all over this one. So please, someone compose something from this campaign and send it to me. I'll find something to send you, and that would be incredibly awesome. If you think this Kickstarter campaign is buzzworthy, okay. Yes, of course, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal yet on social media? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to EE Journal and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 19th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.